This week's Bible study will actually be pretty brief. When we looked at the video from Dr. Richter, it really took most of our time. We are actually going to slow down, though, our Bible study time. And hopefully, if you'll come back, we'll have a much more extended conversation through the podcast because we've just found out that we just not had enough time to do the discussion we need to do. So we're going to take a little bit more time to work through the Epic of Eden Isaiah workbook. So when you come back next week to the podcast, it should be a little bit more lengthy, and we'll be able to really work through which the material that's really good. If you haven't had a chance to get the workbook, please do that, because Dr. Richter's able to flush out much more of the book of Isaiah. It'll get you back into reading the book of Isaiah as well. So I'd encourage you to keep coming back, because like I said, we'll have a little bit more lengthy podcast in the future. Really, all we had time for last week was to look at the introduction to the workbook and also day one. We did watch, obviously, the 30-minute video where, by the way, she shows you the historicity of Hezekiah's tunnel. So again, it's just another reminder to us that even though you and I live by faith, there really is a confidence that we ought to have as believers that when Scripture says, hey, there was somebody named Hezekiah, well, history backs that up. Every time we dig, we're encouraged. Every time Paul says this is where this was, or Jesus was at this place, or here we have this example, we found Hezekiah's tunnel, which says Hezekiah was king. That's just a reminder over and over again to the truthfulness of our faith. Again, we live by faith. But we're blessed to be a part of a faith that's backed up by history and by archaeology. And so she talked about Hezekiah's tunnel, this water route, this water tunnel that was built to protect them from the enemy that they knew was coming. So if you haven't seen that video, you'll want to look at that. Where we are, though, this section in Isaiah 36 through 39, if you remember how Isaiah is put together, this is, even though it's Hezekiah and he has done some wonderful things, even though Dr. Richter would call him the almost faithful, but as the book ends of the kings in Isaiah, from Ahaz to Hezekiah, he's definitely much better. But you and I know that even still, 36 through 39 are not great chapters. But here's the good news, and this is where we'll get to in the next couple of weeks. Chapter 40 is the turning point. When we get there, finally, Isaiah is able to speak these words of comfort to the people of God. And that's literally how chapter 40 starts. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. So we're looking toward really what's the hinge point of Isaiah. This is where everything turns. But also, finally, just to get a word of comfort, some good news. Because even with Hezekiah, there's still trouble. So in day one of the workbook, just very briefly, the one day that we did get to cover at our Wednesday night service was Isaiah 36. And again, we have this place where in Isaiah 36, where King Hezekiah knows what's coming, and he sent word. So basically you have, and I'll just read this for you so we can kind of get the background. When he says to them, you know, don't be afraid because of the words that you have heard. We know what's been said, even not just to them, but in their own language to people up on the wall, some pretty scary things, that there will be no deliverance for them, that they'll even have to eat of their, if you go back to 35, you'll have to even eat of your own dung and drink of your own waste. So, chapter 36. So Assyria is challenging not just the Lord, but is speaking these things to his people. And so they're probably rattled. And one of the things we talked about in our discussion, what are those times for you when somebody mocks your faith? Because here, this messenger is saying that if you follow this one so-called one living God, here's what's going to happen to you. Here's what we're going to come back and do to you. This mocking of God and mocking of who they are. I know I didn't become a believer until late high school, 10th grade. But it was a night and day conversion. And boy, it was pretty quick. some of the stuff I heard and things were said, actions that were even taken because of this newfound faith. I hope I was not arrogant with my faith. I just wasn't going to talk a certain way anymore. I wasn't going to live a certain way anymore, and there was a price to be paid for that. When I got to college, just trying to live a certain way and speak a certain way, there was a price to pay for that. I've been on the mission field where you're trying to share good news and grace with people, yet you're openly mocked and even in some ways threatened with persecution. When you and I live for Christ, we should not be surprised that if we're living in the world but not of the world, that Jesus even warned his disciples, well, don't be surprised when there's persecution. Don't be surprised when somebody openly mocks you. And that's really where we're going to go next week. When you get into day two, what do you do with your fear? What does our culture do with their fears? How do they deal with fear? But what do we do when we're scared? And again, I can understand you're going to feel fear. There's no way around that. But what do you do with that? What do you do when you're openly mocked? Do you lash out? Do you hide? Do you lovingly and patiently stand up for your faith? Their God was being called on the carpet here. What do you do when your God is called on the carpet, when somebody openly mocks you? There's a whole lot of biblical parameters for that, to always be prepared to give a hope, to give a defense for the hope that's within you, but always with, the scripture says, gentleness and reverence. So that's really all we had time for, and I'm sorry to be so brief this week, but next week, the plan is to go through the day two through day five. There's so much there in the workbook, so I hope you will take time to get caught up there. We're in week five because there's some wonderful things in that workbook. What do we do with our fears? What is the place of prayer in your life in times like that? How is it Ahaz versus Hezekiah responds to fear? We'll speak much more again about who Yahweh is, but then also how we need to guard our heart and to guard our lives. And then lastly, we'll look at that turning point. So there's going to be, in chapter 40, there's going to be so much there for us this week. So I hope you'll be back again and take this time to get caught up.